Thank you for joining us on the Southwest Florida Business Podcast. I'm your host, Chris, and today I'm joined by Connery and Jen from Universal Contracting and Solar. I wanted to have them on because of what I'm hearing from everybody after the storm. In addition to the supply chain issues that have been going on for a long time, you also have now an additional tens of thousands of homes that need new roofs. So I've been talking to people in this industry and finding out that there's, you know, significant lead times, you know, months at this point. So I wanted to bring them in to really talk through that, what they're seeing out there, and then also give some guidance on what people should expect when they're looking at new roofs. They put together this whole guide. We'll have a link to that in the show notes below, but you can download it. And as a homeowner, it gives you insights into what you need to look for yourself, what you should be asking your contractor when you decide it's time to change your roof. It's not a sales pitch. It's actually pretty nice. I took a look at it, and it just gives you insights that you need to know to have an effective conversation with a contractor. So we talk about everything on that front, how they got started, how they started as storm chasers and eventually grew this into a solid business that's based out of here in Southwest Florida. So I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you go download that guide. It'll give you a lot of great resources. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Connery and Jen from Universal Contracting and Solar. This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcast. We help businesses make marketing videos. Now, a lot of businesses see the value in video content, but they don't know where to start. Filming, editing, posting on social media, these can take up a lot of time and they can be pretty frustrating. And that's where we come in. We work with businesses to highlight the value they bring to their customers and share that online. Now, we've created the Marketing Manager's Guide to Video Content that you can download for free by following the link below or scanning the QR code on your screen. Now, enjoy the show. Henry, Jen, thank you for joining me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right, so I do want to dive into this. This is the ultimate guide for property owners. It's all about roofing and solar, everything on here. One of the interesting things that stood out to me right from the beginning was be weary of storm chasers. Are you guys good to, like, can we start there?
Yeah.
Let's go from there. So what are you seeing out there in terms of storm chasers? What are people kind of commonly falling for at this point? If we can start there and then whatever else you want to paint in there.
Yeah. So our past, we used to be storm chasers back in the day. So, I mean, we kind of get the idea of you have a major disaster that happens, and then you pick up a team, you pick up a truck or two, and then you just go out there, you find whatever house you can, you set up shop, and then you call yourselves local. The problem with that, you know, one, you're already lying. You're not a local company. You set up a suite in a shopping mall plaza, and it's like Suite B, right? Okay, local, but you're on a year-to-year contract. And then you can honestly say whatever you want in terms of warranty too. So you've got a lot of these storm chasers that are coming in. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to do it for this price, or we'll do it for your insurance proceeds. And then we're going to go ahead and give you a lifetime warranty, actual workmanship lifetime warranty, or they'll say like a 10-year warranty. Realistically, they could give a year warranty because that's all about how long they're going to stick around. They're going to go back up to Colorado for a hailstorm, or they'll go to Texas for a hailstorm. In 2014, Universal Contracting, we came here for a hailstorm in Orlando. And then I came on about 5 years ago, and I looked at the owner. I said, hey, look, I think it'd be really good for us to build a brand. You know, you need to get away from that storm chasing mentality and become a storm catcher. If it happens, it happens. We're getting, what, a 100-year storm every 3 years? A once-in-a-lifetime storm every 3 years. So it's happened, and it's happened Irma, and then, you know, Ian. So it's storm chasing in a nutshell, though. For people that don't know, you've got a contractor that, yes, they have a license, but they'll come in from out of state. They'll operate real quick. They'll do the work. It's they use subcontractors. They basically just come in, rush it, grab their money, and they're gone for the next storm. This storm, I would expect them to continue being here probably for the next 8 months. You're going to get a few companies, though, that will do the same thing that we did and set up shop and actually say, hey, look, this is home, which, let's be honest, the beaches will pull you in once they're cleaned up. The fishing will keep you here, and it's just all around. Southwest Florida is beautiful. We love it down here. We haven't gone anywhere. So,
yeah, I'll just add too, it's not easy to do contracting in Florida. So a lot of reasons why they end up leaving, they can't make it. They don't know our building codes.
Okay.
They're not, you know, in other states, you don't even need licenses.
Yeah.
So we take contracting very seriously in the state of Florida. And I think that's one reason they don't make it. And then the next storm comes or you have a leak, you're trying to call your contractor and they're not here anymore.
The number's disconnected. It was a Google voice number type of deal.
I mean, it's even happened to family of mine here.
Really?
In the past.
So in that case, right? So you have a situation like this. People come in and I'm assuming that they might not have insurance. They might not have these different types of things. So what's a situation like with working with somebody like that when things do go south and like you can't get them back on the phone? Like where are you left as a homeowner?
So right in the beginning, say you were to get a storm chaser that's unlicensed. One, you've got a state offense working with an unlicensed contractor on your property, mm-hmm. which means you as a homeowner can be held liable. If they're not insured, if one of their workers falls off, cracks their skull on your pavement, you're the one liable for it. So you need to have a contractor that's got workman comp insurance, but also they need to have a license, and it needs to be an active good standing license.
So if you are a homeowner and you work with somebody that doesn't have a license, you're actually liable for either the work that they do or somebody getting injured?
Yeah. Think about it like this. Say they do a bad job and it doesn't pass a final inspection or it doesn't even get inspected at all. For example, in Cape Coral, if you don't have any municipality, if you don't have your dry-in inspection where all of your materials are, you've got your underlayment on, the accessories that need to be on, if you don't have that inspection or if a permit wasn't even pulled, it doesn't exist in the city's eyes. If you don't have a permit pulled and the work's completed and the crews or the company itself is gone in the long run, you're not gonna get signed off, which means getting reinsured would even become an issue. So your insurance company could drop you because you didn't get your roof done, even though, air quotes, you did get your roof done, doesn't exist in the county's or municipality's eyes. So you're stuck footing the bill.
Wow. Okay. So even if everything goes well, there's no issues, they do the work, but if you're not, you know, licensed, you're not going to pull those permits. Mm-hmm. So is that one of the requirements to pull a permit is to show your license, show all these things?
Yes, as a contractor, but a homeowner and you'll get storm chasers come in and say, oh, don't worry, you as a homeowner can pull your own permit and then we'll just do the work for you.
Oh, so as a homeowner, you can pull your own, but somebody can basically guide you to pull that permit on your own. So in that case, you knowingly took on the liability for this work because, well, you know, you pulled the permit. Wow. Okay. So that's part of the process is to convince people like, hey, do this stuff and then we'll kind of work on your behalf versus like sign this contract for a job done and our company will take care of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And all of that we do in-house. So we have a permitting department.
Yeah.
We have all the scheduling, you know, we handle everything for you. And I don't think a lot of people know like why sometimes it's taking so long because it's so backed up from all the permits going through. Plus in Florida, there's a dry-in inspection.
Yeah.
Plus a final inspection. So it's like a process. And I think part of our work is teaching, you know, guiding the homeowner through that process.
So can you talk about that process? Because I know that this is a hot button for both roofing companies and for people dealing with roofing companies and trying to get roof repairs. Like, obviously things are going to take longer after a storm. Plus you have supply chain issues and things like that. But can you walk through that process of what goes into it so people have an understanding of the scope of this?
Yeah. So, you know, once we come inspect your roof, you decide to go with us. We'll sign a contract, pick out all of that. Then you're going to apply for the permit. Well, mm-hmm. the permits, how far are they back?
Yeah, so
it depends between municipalities, but.
So you can get your permit typically within two to four weeks, depending on the municipality. Dry and inspections are relatively quick, and I'm saying that in, again, air quotes, realistically. Yeah. It can be 2 to 4 weeks to get a dry and inspection. There is alternatives you can go. Like, we have a partnership with an engineer. They'll come out and do what's called an RVI inspection, and the engineer will stamp off on it. But let's say your dry and inspection takes 2 to 4 weeks. Once it's done, you can go ahead and have the final work done on your roof, but the final inspection, that could be months out. And that's, again, depending on the county. You know, Charlotte County's, they're pretty backed up. Lee County's pretty backed up. It's just like most people, when it comes to businesses, a lot of them are understaffed. So is your city. So a lot of these inspectors, they're just bogged down. They're doing like 8 to 15 a day. And
really,
you've got what, 2-3 inspectors for the city. So it takes time. And they're just backed up.
Damn. Okay.
Materials are a different story.
Yeah.
What's going on with materials?
So materials right now, in the beginning of the storm, it wasn't too bad, right? You could get stone-coated steel, which is a phenomenal product. It resembles tile, but it's lighter than shingles, and it's as durable as a metal roof. You could get that in a few weeks. Tile itself, concrete tile, which, let's be honest, Bonita, Naples, Fort Myers, a lot of your roofs are concrete tile. Manufacturers, this is manufacturer. This doesn't even include it getting to the supplier itself, is 35 to 55 weeks out, and sometimes even longer. So a lot of the tile's gone on allocation. They produce it as fast as they can, but COVID really shut down. Once you get a plant that's shut down, it's not easy to get that plant back up.
It's not just you don't just flip a switch to get that going. All the people that worked there had to go find other stuff to do. Now you have to like retrain people.
Yep.
Now you have to service those machines that were sitting there for all the time. He's like, I don't think people realize how much goes into all of those things and all the compliance pieces that they have on the back end. It's not like, yeah, just stay home for 2 months and then we'll be fine. It's like,
yeah.
Like half of our workforce left.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
There's also a sand shortage, which is not helping the...
What's going on with the sand shortage?
Apparently, that's not helping the making the concrete tile.
So concrete tile, concrete, if you're familiar, it's primarily, what, 80% of it's sand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you've got a shortage of sand, producing the tile itself takes a while. And then you've got the option to go to clay tile, but clay tiles, typically it's imported. You know, you've got like companies like Ludovici, which is an Italian tile. It's coming in overseas. Then you look at, let's be honest, global shipping in general is kind of rocky right now.
Yeah.
So getting that material could be a hit or miss. As long as it's coming over, yeah, cool. That's great. But, you know, there's delays across all different areas. And realistically, as a roofer, we're doing about 15 to 18 roofs a day. We're doing a lot of roofs as a roofer. Mm-hmm. But realistically, we can work as fast as everyone else allows us. If the material's there, we'll do the work. But we're waiting on material. We're waiting on those inspections. And that can add what should be a two-week project into 2-3 months. And it is what it is unfortunately what it looks like. But as a contractor, yeah, there's ways you can speed it up. Get an engineer, partner up with an engineer for those inspections. That, you know, decreases that 3 to 4 week wait period to a week, which is nice. But then you look at material. So it's one of those things that you're just waiting on.
Got it. There's like, you can only get so many ducks in a row before you wait for the actual thing to arrive.
Exactly. Transparency is probably the best key though, as a contractor, being transparent with the client. Say we've hired people in house that their one job is to notify the homeowner where they're at. So she's phenomenal. She sits there, she's letting them know when crews are showing up, when stuff's scheduled, when materials are going to be delivered. And that definitely eases those tensions with the homeowner because, let's be honest, everyone's on social media saying, this contractor never showed up. I can't get a hold of my contractor. What's going on? You got to have that transparency with people.
Well, that's super common. Why do you think, I don't know if it's just a Florida thing or if it's everywhere, but why do you think that that's so common down here for people to have such bad experience with contractors. Do you guys hear this as well, or?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when you're doing that many roofs a day, unrealistic expectations. Let's be honest. Most people that live in Florida haven't been here their entire lives, so they're not used to it. You're coming from other states where you live in a town of 300 people, five of them's a contractor, and it's not like they're doing much work outside of the air. So stuff is getting done pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Also got more lenient inspections or no inspections at all. You've got lenient permitting or, again, no permitting at all. And you come in with that mentality here, it doesn't really fly, and it is what it is. But that's one of the reasons.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think there's so much work, and to get the work, people don't give realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're just like, yeah, of course, this will be fast. We'll do it, you know? They don't follow up because it's obviously a process. We don't like to lie about the process. Like, we like to lay it out. This is what it is. And it might not be the exact answer that you're looking for, but at the end of the day, it's done right, and we like to do things right.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to go back and deliver on what you promised and do all these things. I don't know. Is that something that you curious to know when you came to the company and were like, hey, let's move from storm chasing to setting up, I'm not saying real business in like a disrespectful way, but like set this up as like a functioning process-based business. What was that kind of learning curve like to switch from being, as I've done it before too, where it's like almost contract based and you're like, all right, we got it. We'll fulfill it, do all this stuff. And then you're like, I literally didn't make any money on this because I didn't plan where the money should go. Right. And we waited 6 months to do this and this, like, what was that process of switching from storm chasing to like setting up infrastructure?
The best way of putting it is investing thousands of dollars into people. So each different process realistically needs its own person to make sure it's happening. You need a good contact management system too that allows you to keep updates internally throughout the company, that allows everyone that has their own job to respond on what job is happening. So you know, okay, materials have been ordered. I know that. I see when they were ordered, or I see when a permit was pulled. I know where it's at in the process. So investing a lot of money into a good backbone of the company is the best thing. Clear, concise communication is huge, especially in contracting. There's so many moving parts in this industry that realistically one person is going to drop the ball if he's got it all on his shoulders. So you get and that's another thing with the storm chasers. You get a storm chaser in here, typically it's 2-3 people in a truck, and we call them chucking the trucks.
Chucking the
trucks.
it's real tight-knit communication.
But again, you've got, you know, these salespeople going out there promising the world to somebody so they would go with them. And that's, for example, let's be honest, if I was to come up to you and somebody else was to come up to you and say, I could get your roof done in 2 weeks, no problem, in and out. And then I come up to you and say, look, realistically, it's going to be 2 to 3 months. Who's cheaper? Well, the guy that doesn't have in-house labor or the guy that does have in-house labor. So I'm a little bit more expensive. I tell you a longer time frame. I'm being transparent with you, but who are you going to go with? Probably the guy that's a few thousand dollars less that says it's going to be done really quick.
Especially if you've never gone through this before, because mm-hmm. there's decent.
Exactly.
Are you working with a decent amount of people that don't actually live here? They only live here for like 3 months or 4 months.
Good 50-60% of our client base is
half and
like
half.
That.
Yeah. So I mean, it's and just like from their perspective, yeah, what you're saying, it's even giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's like, you have these other perceptions of how contractors work for wherever you live, and you're not there, so you can't manage it. And then if somebody comes to you, even though you're not there at the house, like, wait, it's going to take 6 months to do this, or I could pay this guy way less in 3 months. What do you guys think? You're the best thing. And then they call you in 3 months like, hey, I haven't heard from my guy.
So many of those phone calls. We get about 3 or 4 a week of, hey, I can't get a hold of my roofer. I don't know what's going on. I've already paid them $6,000-$7,000.
For the deposit and all that stuff.
The thing about Florida is, yeah, you do have 10 days right of cancellation with your contract. So I tell you, and this is hypothetically, I'm not going to say this as a salesperson, but say that other company comes in and says, hey, it'll be 2 weeks. We'll go ahead and get started. You get a deposit and You sign a contract with them. Well, 10 days goes past. You've already technically there's been a transaction of funds. That contract's solid. But if that contractor disappears, your money's gone. Or they then call you after those 2 weeks. You've already gotten locked into the contract. You can't go anywhere. They're like, oh, by the way, it'll be 3 months. And it happens a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is that process like for you guys to work with? I imagine that makes sales, the conversation a little more challenging, but like, how do you help guide people through this?
I think the best way of doing it is having a good referral basis. So say we do have clients like that, which we do. We say, hey, look, you've gone through this. Would you be willing to do a testimonial or even talk to other clients that may be going through something like this as well to show them how they should be probably going this way? And then we created this guide to help that as well, that journey of finding that right contractor for you. These are all trade secrets. Realistically, you're not finding them on Google or they're hidden in a code book somewhere.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah. Well, so why did you guys put this together? I know we touched on it a little bit, but like, what was the main thing that got you thinking like, okay, let's actually put together all these different sections. So I'm just going to read it so people like kind of have a sense of it, but the most common roofing problems in Southwest Florida, how to prevent them, how to choose the right roofing materials for your property, how to kill your electricity bill when it comes to going solar, and trade secrets on points to look for when selecting a contractor. So just so people know, we probably won't cover all of these, but we'll put a link or we'll figure something out. If you're listening or watching, just look in the comments and something will be there to download this. But why put this together and kind of teach people what's going on with this?
Well, I get home from work and there's probably 2 to 3 business cards shoved into my door, right? None of them tell me anything other than number one roofer or local roofer or most reliable roofer in Florida, even though I've never heard of them. And I know a lot of roofing companies down here. I network with a lot of them. I see all this. I'm like, nobody's giving anything of value. Mm-hmm. I wanted something that people can say, oh, this actually taught me something. It's non-biased. This is hardcore facts in a guide of how to be informed and make an informed decision, whether you go with us or another company. It's free knowledge that we're like, you know what? This is a lot more valuable than that door hanger or that business card. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to educate our homeowners. We do it when we're at the door with them. We do it when we're sitting down at their kitchen table. But if we can help that group of people that don't know, you know, not be taken advantage of down the road, that's huge.
Well, and so when you guys are out there talking to customers, what are some of the main things that they just don't know about that might be obvious to you guys, but that most people aren't aware of?
Oh man, there's a lot.
Well, I guess why don't we do this? If it works for you, I'll hand you guys this, whichever one you want to pick out of there, because, I don't know. It's as a homeowner myself, and we built the house, got finished in 2019. Thank God before all this
got a good rate
madness. So I don't know too much about what I should look for. It's like not even on my radar. I feel like it's something that's going to just pop up when I don't want it to. So I'd rather not get blindsided. So what do most people not know?
Oh man, a lot of the houses nowadays are designed with a flashing system that's doomed to fail.
What is a flashing system and why are they designed to fail in this case?
Let's be honest. Most houses are designed for aesthetics, right? I want it to look good, but it's always the joke between the contractor and the engineer, the person that doesn't actually build the house, but he designed it. So flashing is a metal piece of, it's a piece of metal that stops water from entering where a roof meets a wall. You've got stucco primarily here in Southwest Florida, and then you've got your roofing system. So that piece of metal just stops water from entering in, right? So typically it can be found close to a valley or a step flashing or a headwall flashing. So you've got multiple areas where flashing is being used. Flashing prevents water from entering. Now, depending on how it's installed, how much flow of water is going into that area, it can rust, it may have not been sealed properly, and water will start to enter it. So most common areas people see it is on the entryway of their doors. When you enter into the house, you look up, there's been a lot of times you walk in and that's the first thing you see is that yellow stain. That's that area starting to fail. So, you know, when it comes to flashing on the back of the guide, we actually have a checklist of areas you can look for. You know, some pro tips, realistically, if you're comfortable just putting your head in the attic, turn your lights off. If you see light coming in somewhere, it probably shouldn't. Odds are you've got an area where, you know, water can enter. You know, take a flashlight, high powered flashlight, look around your attic real quick. You're up there 2 minutes. You don't have to go all the way in. See if you see any darkened plywood, stuff that really shouldn't be wet, is wet, or smell. So you, I think we all know kind of what, especially after Hurricane Ian, what mold smells like. You go into a business and you're like, well, it's musty in here. There's mold somewhere, you know.
I probably shouldn't eat the food here. Right
now. So it's just tips like that when you're realistically, when you're about to bring somebody in to tell you something, you want to make sure that you are informed on what you're going to be going about in the next few weeks when you're dealing with a contractor. We don't want contractors going out there and saying, hey, it's going to be 2 weeks. Hey, it's your roof is this or something's that. And then you not knowing anything, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But now you've got something as a weapon almost that you can use against contractors that are just trying to pull your leg to get your business.
Yeah, against BS, pretty much.
I was going to say how we like to push sustainable products.
That too.
So a lot of storm chasers, or we'll just say that. Shingle roof, I'll get it done the fastest. Great new roof, you'll be fine. Well, what they won't tell you is you'll end up spending more money in the next 20 to 50 years with your shingle roof. You won't get as much of a resale value on your house with your shingle roof, and your roof may blow off in the next hurricane.
Sure.
So we really like to push sustainable products, whether that be metal, stone-coated steel, like he was talking about earlier. And even the shingles that we do like to push are some of the longest lasting that we've worked with.
Yeah. Tamco, which is a very common shingle brand down here. If you've looked into Tamco, or if you looked into shingles, you just type in shingles, typically you're going to have CertainTeed, Tamco, IKO, all pop up. Tamco, we're one of the largest installers of what's called the Titan XT shingle here in the state of Florida.
Okay.
So after Hurricane Ian, they came through a neighborhood and we did like 10 roofs on that one street. And then it was crazy. You could see after the storm, and they actually wrote an article about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was untouched, roof gone, untouched, tarps, half the buildings caved in. And you're like, what's the different variable here? And you're like, oh no, these are all installed with Titan XT shingles. Phenomenal product. It doesn't cost much more than a standard asphalt shingle, but it held up incredibly well to Hurricane Ian. 160 mile an hour wind rated resistance. And it's stamped on the packaging. No mm-hmm. company's willing to touch that wind rating.
So, okay. So there are shingles out there that you guys are installing that stood actual hurricane of this. Wow. Okay.
If you were to go into Google right now and type in Titan XT Universal Contracting, the first link will be a case study that they did on the shingle itself and our company. And
yeah, they came in and videoed. They wrote articles, videoed.
Wow. Is that, would that be a possible solution to what's going on in terms of the shortages for these like cement based tiles? Like, is that an alternative, or are they using this? Are you going to run into the same kind of issues?
I wouldn't. And the main reason why I'm saying that is if you have a, what we call high performing roof. So whether that be metal or concrete tile, I wouldn't backstep and do shingles. You already have a really well done roof. It's high performing. Insurance companies know that too.
Okay.
They're willing to insure it longer. I think what's happening right now is you've got asphalt shingles, which was it 2 years ago, they put out a law that said every 10 years you're going to need your roof replaced if it's shingle. Otherwise, we won't insure you. Well, last year, DeSantis came in and he said, hey, no, let's do 15 years, every 5 years a reinspection in order to continue being insured. You get into the area of shingles, I don't care what it is. Let's be honest. We get 263 days a year that's just beating sun. Mm-hmm. You get all this rain every single day during rainy season. that roof is going to fail over time. It's going to fail a lot faster than a roof in Georgia or even north of that. You know, up there, yeah, you can get 30 years out of a shingle roof. Down here, 18 to 23 years is really...
pushing it.
It becomes brittle. It's ultraviolet degradation is what it's called. It just eats away those shingles. If you were to put on a pair of polarized sunglasses, this is another pro tip. Put on a pair of polarized sunglasses. If your roof is sparkly, that's fiberglass showing through, which means you've got exposed fiberglass mat of your shingle, which means over time, those areas are where it's going to start failing more. The granulars have rubbed off, basically.
I bet people put polarized sunglasses on and look at their roof, they see it shine, and they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
no. So that's actually, all right, so that's something that you got to look out for, because that means your roof's actually degrading. So you might have maybe a 5 to 10 year window that you probably got to replace that thing. It could even be sooner, but like realistically, that's now something that you got to think about. Mm-hmm. So could these come into play for like houses that already had shingles, but maybe the cement roofing is too expensive to do that? Is this like a solid alternative?
That's exactly
where
I was going with that.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously we would always, I mean, I always recommend metal in Florida. Yeah. It's just the longest lasting, strongest material. You get a discount on your insurance premiums most of the time for going metal. You're not going to have to worry in the next storm.
Got it.
And even though Tamco did awesome in this storm, like we have proof of it, you never know.
Sure. Yeah. So the metal is what you recommend for pretty much everybody. It's like at least consider it. But is this a more cost effective alternative than trying to get cement based?
Yeah. Okay. Another thing to keep in mind, you want to think long term, right? I always tell people, when they say, hey, I'm going to change the color of my roof, how should I pick my color? Well, what are you easily able to change? You're able to easily change the paint on the building. You're not easily able to change your pavers. So match something that matches with your pavers, right? The same goes with time. If you're going to be living there for 5 years and you're going to sell, put shingles on it. If you're going to live there the rest of your life, maybe hand this down to your kid, I'd put a metal roof on there without a doubt. The stone-coated steel is a great option because it looks like tile from the ground. You can't even tell it's not tile unless you're really close to it. And it's lighter than shingle, which means you don't have to have an engineer to come out and inspect your trusses to see if it can hold up the weight of concrete tile, because it's a lot lighter than shingle even. It's got more fastened secured areas on it per square foot than most metal roofs too. So it holds up really, really well.
And the new material, I guess as each year passes, the new materials that they engineer and they test, they just get better and better.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be more common to, I guess it's common to have shingles down here. It's not uncommon to have shingles. So like, do you think that those will become more common, like as this gets replaced, like higher performing shingles, things like that? So the tiles aren't like the end all be all for most people.
Yeah. Look at the demographics too. So if you've got an area where primarily everything's shingle, yeah, a lot of people are going to go to that Titan XT or IKO Dynasty. So higher premium, air quote, premium line shingles. They're just thicker. They have a better nail line and the granulars are the exact same as any other shingle. But the way they secure just outperforms any other shingle out there. Another thing that people don't really think about is underlayment. New law just went into effect for Florida building code that states you have to have at least 2 layers of a synthetic underlayment. So it's sort of like a canvas material underlayment is, the synthetic underlayment is. But you know, for a few dollars more, you can pay for peel and stick. So let's say another Hurricane Ian comes through, the once in a lifetime storm every 3 years, and you have a synthetic underlayment on it. All of your shingles blow off. What's going to happen? It's going to leak. Or you can pay a few bucks extra, get the peel and stick, which is a underlayment that's got a peelable back. It adheres directly to that plywood. It doesn't go anywhere once it's on there. And you lose all your shingles. It ain't going to leak compared to this. Well, I don't want to say it ain't, but it's chances of it leaking are a lot less. And it holds up so much well because it's essentially fused to that plywood. So unless your entire roof is getting sucked off during a hurricane, it ain't going nowhere. It holds up really well.
So is this a big part of the process of going in and talking to homeowners, is like understanding where they're at and then giving them actual like guidance for their particular roof, for their particular situation? Like what is that process like?
Yeah. So all of our salespeople, when we bring them in, you know, even if you don't know how to spell roof, we love to bring you in because you don't have bad habits from another company.
That's true.
We train them. We put them through a two-week proprietary training course that we built to essentially over-educate them. So they can easily speak in technical terms if they're dealing with another contractor, or layman's terms when they're just dealing with a standard homeowner, and say, hey, look, we want to give you enough information so you can make an informed decision. And when we go out there, the inspection isn't, oh, this is a doom end all situation.
Sure.
It's, we're either going to give you peace of mind or caution for concern. And that's how we approach every single customer.
Got it. No, and it makes sense. Like if you're giving people these checklists to go through and check some of this stuff out, I mean, that's important, because I actually had a roof leak not too long ago, and that was something that I didn't even know where to start. Fortunately, my mom actually knows a bunch about this stuff. So she's like, all right, get up in the attic, look at the light, see if there's anything wet. Like, do you see any light coming through? So like, I at least got that training. But if I didn't have her telling me that this is what I need to look for, I would have no clue, which is weird spot to be in when somebody possibly comes to you and is like, all right, I need $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, to be like, you know, I think this sounds right. It's not very reassuring.
And that's, you brought up a great point. I mean, think about the last time you're really needing a roof replaced. Either it was right after Hurricane Irma, if you live in Southwest Florida, or it was during Charley. So 2005. So you've got 17, 18 years before the last time you replaced your roof. That price of the roof, and this is the sustainability she was talking about, the price of your roof back then could have been like $6,000 to $10,000. And now you're talking $25,000 to $30,000 for just a shingle roof. Now, metal is about three times the price of a shingle roof, but it lasts, say, the lifetime of you. If you're replacing it once, you're one and done, you don't have to worry about prices going up. But in 15 years from now, you have to go get a new roof. If you don't have a metal roof, you're paying twice of that. So let's hypothetically talk and say 15 years from now, what used to be in 2005 of, you know, $6,000 to $10,000 roof is now $45,000 or $60,000 even, which at the rate things are going, that's doomed to happen.
Yeah.
That's the sustainability factor. You're not putting more stuff in the landfill. You're saving money, not having to replace it every 15 years or every other hurricane. And peace of mind, realistically. You get yes, you do pay a little bit more money out of pocket, but you're getting something you don't have to worry about. There's a lot of myths about metal roofs. They're louder during the rain, or it's a Faraday cage and I don't have signal on my phone. That's not the case at all. So, okay. But yeah, it's a phenomenal product. Metal is the way it should be. Tile's beautiful, but let's be honest, if you live on a golf course, you're doomed to have breakage because people are hitting it with golf balls. You get somebody as big as me up on your roof doing an inspection, I'm going to crack a tile on accident. It's going to happen. What wind will loosen them over time. All in all, uplift. Uplift. They're doomed to fail. Metal, maybe you're replacing screws if you've got an exposed system every 10 years, but they'll hold up pretty well.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do you think the conception of metal roof comes from, like these negatives?
I think some people don't like the look, to be honest.
And then everything else is a justification.
Yeah. We always talk about if you go down to the Keys, anywhere in the Keys, it's all metal.
It's all metal.
Because they get hit with the storms first. Every time a hurricane comes to Florida, they're hit first. So they're just not messing around anymore. They're just like, everything's going to be metal.
That makes sense.
I don't know if it's the look that's...
I think what it is, let's be honest, every week you're probably having your door knocked by a roofer or a solar person, right? Let's say a salesperson comes into you. His job is to get you to sign that contract. What is he going to do to get you to sign that contract? He's going to say, I'm cheaper than the rest. I know better. I know more. And he's going to diss other products. So again, the concept comes in. Are you going to pick a roofer that says, hey, you can go this route of sustainability for, you know, 50 grand, or are you going to go with another guy that says, I'll put on your roof for $18,000 and he'll put on a shingle roof? You're going to go with the guy that's a little bit cheaper. And then that salesperson, while he's there, he's like, oh, you don't want to go with that quote of metal. That stuff's loud. You're going to lose your cell phone signal. It's stupid expensive. It's going to rust.
Yeah,
you're going to get all these negative connotations from a guy who's never even seen a metal roof because he has wood shakeup where he lives and he's only down here during the storm.
Got it. Okay. So you guys are dealing with like a battle of perception too on this. So in that case, how do you go about teaching people like that longevity? And I guess it is about what they want, because if they're going to be gone in 5 years, it was like, well, all right, whatever, it doesn't matter. But if they are going to be here for the next 30 years, how do you walk through that conversation with them? Or is it as simple as that?
Well, luckily we've been around for a while, so we have proof in the pudding, essentially, is the best way of putting it. We've got aerial photos and documentation stating this is a roof that was installed back in right after Hurricane Irma, right? Generally was hit by the same storm, Hurricane Ian, multiple years later. This stone-coated steel roof, which looks just like the tile roof next to it, no damage at all, but this one's missing all of its tile. Both were installed at about the same time as well. So you have visible documentation with our company of materials that were installed before storms, and you can realistically look at them after a storm and say, oh no, this obviously held up a lot better.
Okay.
Even Hurricane Michael, which we did, we still have an office, you know, it's a little satellite office up there where, we were there for Hurricane Michael. We installed all these roofs and, you know, they were hit by extra storms just what, 2 years ago, last year. And those roofs that we installed still did really well. And yes, it comes down to workmanship, but it also comes down to the material you're choosing.
Got it. All right. That's interesting.
I think we never want to steer anybody away either. It's obviously always important to let the customer talk first. Like, we can do whatever you want, but also we want to educate them what we know as well. So it's kind of just a balancing act.
Yeah, you have to bring that into play because, like I said, like from my perspective, I don't know much about this, but also you don't want to get ripped off, but you also don't want to like essentially rip yourself off because like, well, is this $5,000 cheaper? Yeah, but in 5 years, this is going to cost you an extra 30 grand because you replace this 15 years from now. Like you said, this price is quadrupled for some of these things. Even if it doubles, you're still going from 30 to 60. And so rather than spending 90 over the next 15 years or spend 60 now or 90 now, like you're going to kind of pay that anyway.
Yep.
Okay. What are you guys seeing in terms of, I don't know how much you guys can talk about it, but in terms of how insurance has handled all this stuff through the storm and what that's been like to work with homeowners and work with insurance companies?
Well, I don't want to have a target on my back from big insurance.
Yeah,
we'll say it like that. I will say, though, I'll talk about my own claim because I went through this storm. I'm dealing with an insurance company who I've yet to hear anything from, and I provided them ample documentation, engineers' reports, everything I would do for one of my own clients, I did for myself, and then threw in a little extra, you know, salt bay into it. And I said, look, this is what I have. Artificial intelligence I used on damage recognition, everything stated right here. I can't get a hold of anyone.
Really?
So when you're a contractor is not allowed to act as an adjuster. That's a federal offense. You're not allowed to act as an adjuster. You're not allowed to discuss policy with a homeowner. You get a lot of these contractors that'll do that anyways. But some are trying to act as like a public adjuster. That's a no-go. There's nothing a contractor can do to essentially help with your claim other than write a good faith estimate, which July 1st of 2021, Senate Bill 76 went through that said, a contractor by law, if you're saying, hey, I'm going to do this work for your insurance proceeds, which you can, you have to provide a good faith estimate. Good faith estimate is essentially a scope of work, everything that's going to happen on your roof and the line items of each thing that's being involved. You have to provide that. That's a law. A lot of contractors aren't doing that. You've got what we can do as a contractor, though, is something that, and we provide this as a free service for our clients. We'll touch base with your insurance company once a week, right? That's it. The phone call every week of, hey, we're just checking in on this claim, seeing where things can go, can speed up the process. If, for example, somebody like me, on my own claim, if I just sent over this stuff and I didn't call for three months, right? A lot of homeowners are like that. They're like, oh, I filed my claim. I trust my insurance company will go ahead and handle that. They will. It's going to take some time, but they will.
You just get deprioritized because...
Essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a battle dealing with insurance companies. A lot of times, even though we are signed as the contractor that's going to be performing the work, you get a lot of insurance companies that are like, look, we're not going to talk to you. You're a roofer. You're just trying to steal all this money from us. No, we're providing you a third-party pricing matrix of exactly the same software you're using, the same pricing you're using. This is what we have to do. And we have to follow these codes. We cite every single Florida building code that we have to adhere to as a contractor to maintain our licenses in good standing. And we provide that to them. And then once a week, we'll give them a call and say, hey, look, what's going on? Which it's a little bit more effort than what a homeowner would typically do with their own claim.
Yeah.
So that can help speed up the process, but dealing with insurance companies right now, I don't know if you saw UPC just went under, and there's projections that people's premiums are going to double, triple, quadruple over the next few months. It is what it is. I've said that three times this podcast. It is what it is. There's not much we can do. Your insurance company has to restore your property to pre-loss conditions. That's why you have insurance, right? If your insurance company isn't doing that, yeah, it's probably a good idea to find a contract that knows what they're talking about, will help with the process, and then possibly look into resorting to a large loss attorney down the road if things don't happen, or they just either devalue your claim or just even say, oh, you don't have any damage, good luck, which happened on my own property. They said, oh, you don't have any damage. We're not going to approve your claim. And I was like, what are you talking about? I had basically an entire, my neighbor's roof flew into my roof, hit my house. I've got, you know, broken windows. I've got leaks. I was like, how can you say there's no damage? And they're like, well, the adjuster that was out there didn't see any damage. So, and it's becoming pretty common from what we've seen.
I think one thing we always say to our customers, like, do you pay your premiums? Do you pay your insurance premiums? Well, then you deserve to have a premium product on your house. You know, insure this, you should be paid for it. So we just try and help them through the process, walk them through the insurance process. I know it was a few weeks ago, maybe, there was a bill that passed with a lot of stuff in it. I don't know the right terminology, but one good thing was for the homeowner.
Yeah. I can't remember the handbill that just passed, but it states that insurance companies, rather than, other than 90 days to have a response back from the insurance company, right of rescission is what it's called. It's now 30 days. There's also something about they have to have an adjuster out, I believe, within a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's just mainly pushing them to not roll. And keep people waiting. It's mainly like pushing them to help the homeowners and actually get their work done. So that should be helpful.
Yeah, it should speed up the process. I don't think it will for Ian or any claims related to Ian. It'll be the next once-in-a-lifetime storm that will happen, that you'll see that kind of come into play. But in part of the bill, it does also state, unless they have a valid reason on why it should take longer, they could pay interest on the loan. I don't know how all that's going to work.
Yeah.
I'm not a legal guy, you know? So.
Sure. That's interesting. So you guys are seeing a lot of stuff on the insurance side and how this is going to get basically paid for and how people are going to get handled. Like, are you seeing a ton of changes around that, or are they moving kind of slow?
They're very slow.
Yeah.
During the beginning of the storm, so 2 weeks after the storm, we were starting to put on roofs once we had permits coming through. Cape Coral was really quick on turning that stuff around. We were putting on roofs, but even now, we're going on month six after Hurricane Ian. I'm still waiting on insurance funds from those roofs that we did 2 weeks after the hurricane. So contractors like us, we're essentially a bank before we're a contractor. Mm-hmm. We have millions of dollars just waiting on insurance funds. The homeowners pay their deductible, which by law, that's what they have to do. And we're sitting there with, you know, their deductible, $20,000 out of our pocket and waiting on 20, you know, 25 from the insurance company or whatever it is, hypothetical numbers.
Yeah.
So it's multiply that times 15 customers a day. It adds up. Insurance companies are very, very slow. But, you know, that's why it's also really important to have a contractor that is established, because contractors that do what we do, where we essentially help the homeowner get the roof replaced without having all the money up front type of deal, is really good. But at the same time, you get with a contract that doesn't have the capital to be able to do something like that, and say they go bankrupt and you've already paid your deductible towards them, you're not going to see that money ever again.
Yeah. And what happens with a situation like this? As far as you guys can tell, I know it's shaken out, but with this other company that just went under, I mean, what impact does that have for things that are already in process?
Well, it's worse for the homeowner, obviously, because now their claim is just kind of sitting there. They have to switch them over, otherwise FEMA.
It goes to a Florida's insurance. It's called FIGA.
FIGA, sorry, yeah. FEMA.
So FIGA takes over the claim, and sometimes they'll reassign it to another insurance company, like Slide has been in the news a lot for something like that. But it's not uncommon for an insurance company to go under. It is uncommon for a company of that size to go under.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think about what, it was like anywhere from 120 to 400,000. I know that's a very slim spread for data, but that's how many people that had open claims through that company, and now they're getting reassigned to the state. Mm-hmm. Now, the nice thing about the state is, yeah, they move pretty quick, so that's a benefit. But say, for example, you get paid out on that claim, and there's unforeseens or things that need to be supplemented. You can't go back to the state and say, hey, we need a little bit more money because there was 40 pieces of plywood that we didn't know needed replaced. So again, hypotheticals, but.
So that stuff's just more cut and dry with the state in these cases.
Most of the time it's easier to get a hold of them. They actually respond. We've dealt with it quite a bit.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of our clients were with UPC. There was American Cap or AmCap was another insurance company that went into, insolvency. It was like 2 years ago. So, I mean, we've been dealing with it.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
You just know how it goes and just maneuver.
We've got two people hired in-house that their full-time job is making phone calls to insurance companies and, you know, sending over the reports, the Xactimates, which is that third-party pricing matrix I was talking about. Their job is to scope up the work, send it to the insurance carriers, and that's what they do.
Yeah. And is this Xactimates, is that something that these insurance companies like came up with themselves?
No. So Xactimates is actually a third-party pricing matrix. So it's not related to insurance companies. It's not related to roofers or contractors in general. But think of it like CAD is probably the best way.
Okay.
So you've got something that you can sketch up whatever's damaged, and then you can provide line items for everything that needs to be done on that property, a scope of work. Now, we're not determining the prices as the contractor. The insurance company is not determining it. It's just the quantity and then the line item. Pricing, you can change it, but you just leave it at industry standard, basically, and then you submit it over. So that's generally like air quote negotiations. We're not allowed to negotiate, but we can say, look, by law, this is what we have to do. This is what we're requesting.
Yeah.
And it comes down to line items, essentially.
Okay, that's interesting. So they've created like a software and a procedure that is almost an arbitration between the contractor and the insurance company.
Yeah, and I mean, Xactimates for full loss too. So say you had an entire house wiped out, you can do everything on that. I mean, personal items, line items for anything.
Wow.
Pretty cool software. You don't have to have a license. Well, you have to like pay for a license to use the software.
Sure.
But you don't technically need any certificates to use it. But our guys are level 3 Xactimate certified, which is top of the certificate list on training for it. So they know what they're doing, which is it's always good to have somebody that knows what they're doing in a position.
That is always good. Yeah. Not every company has that.
Mm-hmm. Nope. No, a lot of these storm chasers, they don't even know what Xactimate is.
Yeah.
They just get up there, they take their tape measure out, and they're like, yep, that's how much it's going to be. And then, yeah, sometimes they do the work, sometimes they don't.
And maybe they're right, and maybe they're not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's local companies, too, that aren't any better. It is what it is, again. It's just do your due diligence. And like I said, in the guide, I have that. What to look for on contracts, what to look for when you're on Google, just Googling a company in general, looking at the reviews, making sure everything's authentic. And I explain how to do all of that.
Okay, perfect. Well, so I guess before we kind of land this plane, what is there anything else that you guys think we should cover that people should know about?
Jen? I've been talking a lot. I'm sorry.
I think we covered a good majority. I think just, you know, taking a look at our company, doing your research, knowing insurance, understanding the process, learning how to pick a contractor that you trust.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of what goes into what you guys have put together here. So one of the things, yeah, like you said, I'll send me over a link. We'll throw that in the show notes. The ultimate guide for property owners to roofing maintenance and going solar in Southwest Florida.
Absolutely.
Just did a little narration there.
Sure.
Do a little zoom in on that.
I love it. Yeah, we do a lot of maintenance plans too. This is really good for property management companies to look over.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a service department. So
why property management companies? Now that you mentioned that.
We do maintenance plans for property management companies that can just help prevent future issues.
Okay.
So instead of like panicking and not knowing who to call when a Cat 5 hurricane hits, you have somebody that's checking out your roof, you know, at least twice a year, looking for unforeseens, and then trusting them to be there when disaster happens as well.
Think of it like a Netflix subscription to roofing maintenance. Essentially, we come out twice a year. We do an inspection, part of the service, and you know, do the basic maintenance, clean out the gutters or traps on the roof, and then it's great for commercial properties, great for you know multifamily properties. Just an occasional roof maintenance, go through, take care of anything that pops up that needs taken care of, it gets handled, and then front of the line. Ability as well after a storm. So before you even call us, we'll call you and say, hey, look, you're part of the maintenance plan. What's going on? How can we be a service? We go out there, provide any mitigation services that are required. We're partnered up with a roof wrap company as well. So basically we can shrink wrap your roof if you've got that as well. It's all part of the maintenance programs.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I saw that you guys partnered with what's the name of that company?
Roof Wrap Florida.
Roof Wrap. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw you guys partnered with them like pretty recently. Or have you been working with them a long time? You just like announced it recently?
We announced it because nobody really knew about it, but we've been with them for 3 years now.
Okay. Got it. So this is smooth process and you know how it works for them. All right. Yeah. Sweet. That's awesome.
Our crews also are part of the company too, so it works out really well.
Got it.
They know exactly what's going on and they've been doing it. They're well trained in it. And we've had the same crews that have been doing that stuff for 5-6 years now. So yeah, quality of work really is clean when you don't have to worry about retraining somebody.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. Help keep the cost down too.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, so they can either email us at info@ucroof.com. That's U like Universal, C as in contracting, roof like what goes on your head. Or you can go find us on Facebook. You can check out our website, www.ucroof.com. There's forms there where you can contact us as well.
Beefing up the YouTube.
YouTube, we've got a lot of videos on there. We're going to be throwing out a lot of educational videos as well. Essentially, imagine this guide, but in a video format you can watch if you'd like to, pointing out where you can look. It's all going to be all right there, Universal Contracting and Solar.
Well, and that's how we actually got connected is I saw the commercial that you guys made. I was like, this is freaking sweet. Like, let me reach out. And I was like, hey, good job. Like, yeah, it was awesome. What was that like putting that together?
I have I'm a marketing director with Universal. My job is to essentially produce video content on a weekly basis, but I have my assistant, Chad, him and I, we do challenges with ourselves where we'll essentially shoot an entire commercial and have it up and uploaded within a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just have fun doing that type of stuff. It's really easy to get content when you're doing so much work.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you get real world content too. It's not all hypothetical.
Yeah, we don't use stock footage. So I'm not going online and typing in this type of roof. We've got it because we've done it, you know.
Sure.
So I just
it's all our projects, which even makes it cooler.
That is cool. Yeah, and it keeps the feel the same throughout everything. It's not like suddenly, oh, this is shot with a cinema camera. Like we're writing on a clipboard here. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Nice. Well, guys, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, cool. It was fun. I hope it was educational.
I think so. I know I learned a lot, so.
Excellent.
I hope everybody else does too.
And for your listeners, if you guys have any questions, real world questions, I'll answer them. You can email us directly at theinfo@ucroof.com. I'm the one that looks that over once a day, and I'll answer any questions you guys have.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. No problem. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcast. We help businesses make marketing videos. Now, a lot of businesses see the value in video content, but they don't know where to start. Filming, editing, posting on social media, these can take up a lot of time and they can be pretty frustrating. And that's where we come in. We work with businesses to highlight the value they bring to their customers and share that online. Now, we've created the Marketing Manager's Guide to Video Content that you can download for free by following the link below or scanning the QR code on your screen.